Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Miles, we are thrilled, blessed, fortunate to be joined in our third seat by one of the very kings of culture himself. He is an award-winning podcast host, a writer, producer, actor, voice artist, and even though it's not one of his written credits, he is one of my favorite singers. He is the brilliant and talented Jaquice Neal!
It's a rare condition this day and age to read any good news on a Jaquice Neal page. Yeah. Love and tradition of the grand design. Some people say it's even harder to find. Well, Then there must be some special glue inside these Jaquice walls. Cause all I see is the power of dreams. Real love bursting out of Jaquice seams. Days go by. Jaquice is his name, and this is the Zeit Gang. What up, niggas?
Yes.
Oh, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Oh. Gotta get you with that Family Matters. Gotta get you. You know what I'm saying. The Steve Urkel show is what we called it back in the day.
Yeah, Steve Urkel.
What's up, everybody?
I was just thinking about Urkel show.
It was the Urkel show. It wasn't Urkel.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, man. Yo, man, I got to get back to the crib. Urkel coming on, man.
Right.
Can you imagine how those other actors felt? Like, nigga, I'm on the show too.
And like, isn't Darius McCrary dating someone famous now?
Who?
Darius McCrary, exactly.
Thank you.
Eddie Winslow?
Eddie Winslow.
I think he is. I forget. I saw in the news he was dating somebody. He got the come up, man. Good for Eddie, man. Good for Eddie Winslow.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like he's always finding ways to stay in the news, or people are always evoking Darius McCrary. So I can't remember what it was, but I'm like, I'm glad I heard his name again.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out Eddie Winslow.
Right.
I also want to say, you know, I just realized something. Lately when I've been coming on, I always do the little songs and shit. Also, shout out to DB at Black Knight 115 coming through with the idea for the Family Matters theme song. Whenever I come on, you know, I always start by saying, what's up, niggas? How y'all doing? And I want to be clear, because I feel like, you know, I'm not clear that I'm only talking to black people when I say that.
Right.
I haven't greeted any white
people
to
come
on
up to you on the street.
Yeah.
Hey, Jacquise, I think you were referring to me on that one podcast intro.
Nah, man, I'm talking to only black people. I've never spoken to white people on this show. I've only spoken to your black listeners. So let me introduce myself to your white listeners. Hello, everyone. Hello,
there you go.
My friends out there.
Oh, hi,
the Caucasian race. How you doing? How you doing, Jack O'Brien?
Hi.
I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. I hope it's a beautiful day for y'all.
Yeah. I was starting to feel left out.
Well, not anymore, man. I'm speaking to you now, man. I'm speaking to everybody. Speaking to everybody now.
You should see, yeah, my text messages on the past episodes when Jack would be talking to Keys is like, I don't remember asking him a fucking thing.
Why? I don't remember. Who was that man? I wasn't talking to Jack. You asked me to come on and talk to you, Miles.
Yeah. You're like, why do you let that white guy talk so much on your show?
Don't get it. Don't get it. Shit. I don't like it. But you know what? It's a new leaf. It's 2021. You know, it's my end of year resolution to start talking to all the white listeners.
Hey, better late than ever.
Yes. Yes. Mm.
Well, we appreciate it. You know, it is important that we feel included, you know.
Thank you. You're welcome. You are included, man. You're important. White people, you're important too. Don't let anybody tell you.
Finally, someone's
you are seen. White people, you are seen.
You're seen, white folks. You're seen. And we love you.
We might get to the Urkel thing made me, I was thinking of that just this morning because Ridley Scott was like making statements about superhero movies. We might get to it a little later on, but he referred to Blade Runner as Harrison Ford. He was like, yeah, no, I made some great superheroes. Alien with Sigourney Weaver. One would be fucking Gladiator and one would be Harrison Ford.
Oh,
like, love it. Yeah, why not?
They
why
had
not?
To be like, put in parentheses in Blade Runner. But
he sounds like a black elder when you just go on off of just reducing it to like the person. Yeah. You're watching Harrison Ford again? Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, what y'all watch? Oh, this is Harrison Ford? Oh, man.
Yeah. Which Harrison Ford you watching? The one with the hat or the one in space? You talking about Indiana Jones or Star Wars?
Yeah,
the
man.
One with Billy D or the one without Billy D?
The one with or without Billy? No, I don't watch that one, man. I don't watch that one. I don't watch that.
Too many
Harrison
snakes
Ford.
In that one. Not fucking with all those snakes. There's one guy that wrote that song and Step by Step, and I think Full House. Yeah, and he's like a music teacher in Connecticut now.
He did Perfect Strangers too,
didn't he?
I think so. I just think of him like, what was his career? Like a failed like blues singer? And he's like, fuck, you want me to make a theme song? Fine.
I'll do it.
And they're like, holy shit, man.
What the fuck?
Yeah, he just sat down at the computer like, fine, fuck it.
It's a rare condition. And you're like, whoa, what the fuck? Okay. It's like, we figured it out. You can't quite chart on the radio. Theme music, you fucking nailed it.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is by Chokehold.
That dude was like an auteur. Of like there's no reason that those songs should have all sounded the same, but they were just like, this is gonna sound like
this dude had it locked.
That's unbelievable. Yeah.
And we didn't even care they sounded the same. We was like, nah, those are different songs. And they all the same fucking song.
Same.
All the same song. He did Step by Step too, I think.
Wow. Jesse Frederick.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesse Frederick.
Love it.
Perfect
Maybe
Strangers.
Uncle Love It.
Valerie. He did Valerie. Full House. Family Matters.
Valerie and Valerie's Family.
Hey, did the spinoff too. You know
oof.
I mean?
Love him. Love that for him.
Yeah. I wonder if Uncle Jesse, the musical uncle on Full House, was named for him.
Ooh, maybe.
A question that has never been asked, but we'll
we got to get him on the show. I've always had this dream, like, since at every place I've worked, I'm always like, we got to talk about Jesse Frederick, the most underrated musician of all time, who gave us these theme songs. And I remember looking for him. I found out that I think he lives in, like, Massachusetts or something, based off a YouTube comment that said that this guy was his, like, music teacher. So,
wow.
Look, if y'all know Jesse Frederick, tell him the Daily Zeitgeist is looking for him.
Yeah.
Tell him.
We need him.
Tell him I want to meet him, too. I want to meet him, too.
Absolutely, man. That would be just amazing.
Just to riff with him. I'll sing a song with him.
Man, he's probably got a bunch of, like, students.
Hey, Jaquise,
like,
why don't you try this one on? Always playing the same goddamn song.
It starts the same fucking way as every other song.
Okay, I get it. All right. That's fair enough. That sounded a little bit as days go by. How about this one? Do 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 do. Step by step.
That's just slower.
Okay, well, fuck. All right, Jesse, man. Yeah. You know what? That's all good. He's on Twitter.
I'd be willing to have one of his students on, just to, like, hear what he's like in class. That would be.
Ooh, you know, that would be dope.
Right.
Like, does he just.
That would be dope.
Rock with that information, like, from.
He has a lot of hot takes on Tupac.
Uh-oh.
A lot of hot takes. Ooh, Jesse Frederick?
Could you imagine?
Oh, shit. I was about to say, don't ruin this for me, Miles. Don't ruin this for me. Re-record the whole song. Re-record the whole top.
No, but not even like a problematic way. He's just like, yo, he's more energy.
Oh, good.
He's more energy if you're going by MCs. It's not by lyrics, though. It's not bars. I'm like, okay, Jay Frederick.
Damn. Okay. All right. Bad opinions, but not, you know, problematic.
America's Uncle Jesse, though. Shout out to that man. Caitlin, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
The last couple of things I was Googling, Lycoris, who was a Greek mime in ancient Rome, who was also a courtesan, so for the podcast. And then also parts for a 1987 Nissan that I guess I'm responsible for. So that's been a journey.
Who's Lycoris? You said Lycoris is the name?
Yeah, Lycoris, which I haven't talked to. I'm not confident that's how you pronounce it. But like, sure. She was awesome. She was born sort of the end of the Republic. She was a lover to Mark Anthony, okay. Sort of, you know, when he
before
was
with J-Lo. Oh, yeah, that so, you Mark know, like, Anthony. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, not the. Sorry. That'd be great. But no. It's great. So she's, and she sort of rose to prominence and was like treated as like a respectable woman, and Cicero had a problem with it and told her to shut her whore mouth, and Mark Anthony was like, you know, I've done what I can, and she disappeared from history. So
wow,
that's her story.
So Cicero was like, we don't want somebody with some, we don't need sex positivity intertwined.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't be forcing my wife to meet this woman at parties and stuff. You got to keep her where the sluts live, you know, right. Those are the rules.
Back in those times, was it, you know, what was sort of the hierarchy? Like, is it a completely impossible feat for her to get to that place? Or
that's interesting, you know, Rome is, you know, like way more patriarchal and like misogynistic than ancient Greece, right? Mm-hmm. So in ancient Greece, you know, priestess prostitutes are like goddesses that serve, or, you know, like priestesses that serve the goddess through sacred sex, and something that we would sort of recognize as like high end, you know, like high art performance sex work that is still happening today, right? So those people had social power, and there were like temples and systems and like places carved out. So like Phryne is an ancient Greek courtesan who was tried for blasphemy because she got like uppity or whatever, and she bared her breasts to the jury and basically said like, my tits are divine and fight me if you disagree. And she won, right? And she got her
clap from the jury.
True.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And like, yeah, no, I mean, they're that's God, like, you know what I mean? And so that's ancient Greece.
Right.
Courtesans in ancient Rome had no such power. Mm. There was a lot more restriction on their freedom of movement and specifically their sort of like ascent into social circles. So it was actually illegal for if had Mark Anthony married this woman, he would have by default and by Roman law lost his rank.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Right. But like also he would have lost his rank, and like ancient Roman politicians or whatever and folks in the military would lose their rank if they ever performed on a stage. So like that association of like actress and sex work, or like performer and you know, salaciousness or whatever goes way back. And ancient Roman mimes, directly, you know, they're not the mimes of today. They're not the silent kind. It's actually a predecessor to comedy, more than comedy in the theater tradition, which is like way stricter and scripted and had a lot more rules. This was just like improv on current events, which is what you guys do.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So we are the courtesans.
Whores and gestures have occupied the same position the whole time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we just give our hot takes for Casper mattresses.
We were all playing to the pleasure of the king.
Are there cultures that like were less patriarchal and were more accepting of sex work than you know, ancient Rome? Like what?
Come on,
what
Jack,
are some
don't
of
ask
the...
stuff that's impossible, man?
There's real history.
What are some of the
greatest
hits? Because I feel like we are in the Roman tradition, and like we assume that we are like progressive, but we're actually, compared to other cultures throughout history, we kind of suck.
Centuries behind.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of evidence about like different beliefs around like women and gender and bodies that provides like a way better foundation, right? In indigenous communities across North America. There's also like in Brazil, in India, there's a long tradition here. Ancient Greece, when you're talking about like the Western tradition, is sort of like when my story of history, which is like way oversimplified, right? I do 10,000 years in 75 minutes, right? Like there's a lot of erasure and oversimplification that happens. But like I kind of pin ancient Greece as like the briny waters where like we see patriarchy, right? We start to do lineage through the dad, but goddesses that engage in the erotic arts still have real power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And we go through phases, right? Like the medieval period is like another upstart. Then you have like, you know, the witch burnings, and you have like, you know, the descent of disease. But this is my favorite topic, and I'll, you know, I will corner you at a party.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
It's always frustrating when we have a guest on who's like, oh, the thing you talk about on your podcast is way more interesting than the news. We should just talk about that the whole time. Yeah. But we'll try and fit in some news. But I want to keep talking about this. What is something you think is overrated, Kate?
Oh, boy. I'm going to get a lot of haters for this one, but I got to do it because it's seasonally appropriate. I think Christmas music is wild overrated. And I think people who start listening to it, like, in mid-October, like, that's a lot. It's a lot. I'm not saying all Christmas music is bad. I'm not saying Christmas music shouldn't be played during the Christmas season. But when there are, like, three radio stations dedicated to Christmas music, like, November 1st, that is a little bit of overkill, guys, I would say.
Yeah. It's a strange phenomenon that, like, for a month, like, that's how powerful Christmas is that for a month, we all just listen to, like, mediocre music, and it's, like, the same every year, and we're just But it is, I mean, it's all about nostalgia, right? So we're
I think that's what's wild. Yeah, it's, like, it's an emotional safe space for a lot of American people, like, but this time of year was great, because then school would be out, and I could stay home, and there were gifts, and then I saw family, and then I didn't have to go to school. And I feel like a lot of my, because I'm one of these people, like, I will turn into a straight up Karen starting December 1st. Like, I try and wait, or maybe right after Thanksgiving.
That's reasonable, though. After Thanksgiving. Yeah. But the, like, people are listening to Christmas music in mid-October. I'm just like, that's such a long time.
And too much of a thing you like is bad. Like, it will become meaningless. Because I really, like you're saying, there are only, like, 16 songs I really like. And you will go through them. Like, songs back then were, like, 90 seconds. So you listen to all of them, like, 40 minutes. You're like, fuck, man, another round of that playlist?
Yeah.
That's why I just
Jingle Bell Rock again. Loop it again.
The thing I do is I'll put on like piano covers, like piano jazz covers of like Christmas standards at night to make my house feel like a hotel lobby that I'm not supposed to be in.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. Do you have like some cinnamon, like a potpourri that you can put there?
Oh, yeah. You know, some milling spices. You know what I mean? You got that milling spices. I got that. Mm-hmm. I have my Woodwick Yankee candles. You know what I mean? With that crackle and shit. I'm telling you, I'm not joking about this the vibe setting I do.
Yeah. I'm some big austere glass, like non-cheerful. I'm just trying to picture like a fancy hotel at Christmas. I feel like they have like it's a giant glass fucking Christmas tree or something.
Yeah.
Or it's like orbs. Many orbs.
Yeah.
So many orbs. Or like a gigantic, what looks like a scientific glass flask, which is meant to like evoke a Christmas tree with like ribbon. It's like very minimal. It's very fancy.
I do feel like the early, like the fact that Christmas is getting earlier and earlier is probably connected to the overall like infantilization of America, because like I hadn't really made the connection until like now. I have a 3-year-old who starts asking about Christmas in like August. And so I feel like it's just, like it's, you know, the little baby and all of us being like, I want Christmas now. Yeah.
Exactly, because I'm like, what am I going to deal with my 37-year-old reality?
Right, fuck that. Exactly.
I'm fucking 9.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I was just talking to my therapist about regression and the fact that, like, so many of us have regressed during the pandemic for better and worse. And, like, I definitely think that's a huge part of the Christmas thing getting earlier and earlier. It's like, the world is so bad. People are just looking for like little slivers of comfort, and Christmas music is one of them. So I don't want to begrudge anybody's Christmas music listening. I just like don't maybe worry, not
for you, but for you, fuck that.
I will say the real racket as a musician is like write that Christmas song, as we've seen with Mariah Carey. Like, you'll be making bank for the rest of your life, as will your grandchildren. Like,
yeah, right. Can you imagine like the like, you know, like how Anderson Cooper is like a Vanderbilt, and like there's someone the equivalent of like Mariah Carey's descendants, to like they descend from that All I Want for Christmas money, generational wealth. Yes.
That new money. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Or who knows if they're smart about it, it's old money by the time it's like 2100.
Oh, man.
If the Earth's around.
What is something you think is underrated?
All right, underrated. I'm coming in hot with an underrated thing. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's properly rated, but I'm going underrated mayonnaise. Mayonnaise, I think, is the most underrated thing in the refrigerator.
I was holding onto my butt with both hands. And
that's because you were doing your Ace Ventura asshole meal bit.
Yeah. The whole show, by the way, for people who can't see, I've been doing the whole show pretending to talk to my butt.
Yeah, it's worked pretty well. I actually got fooled right when I logged on.
Yeah. Especially when you hit Der Daily Zeitgeist. That shit.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. And putting a like what a range? Really long beard on it was helpful.
Oh, that's not.
Oh, it's not. Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. I've heard about
Sorry,
that.
Man. Yeah, yeah.
But you were saying
mayo,
mayonnaise, mayonnaise.
Where were we?
My wife would like physically fight you on this one.
Like, she hates mayonnaise.
She don't like mayonnaise.
Yeah. Ooh, she really.
What? See, does I feel like mayonnaise. Mayo is like the base of all of so many great dips.
Yeah.
And sauces and. You throw it in a pan when you're making a spaghetti sauce sometimes, and that'll give it a little bit of life. You know what I'm talking about?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That's a little hack I hadn't heard of.
Throw some mayo in there. Yeah, throw some mayo.
Throw some mayo in where, when, how, why?
Throw some mayo in when you're making a little sauce, man. Thicken it up. Give it some flavor.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is this something you discovered, or this is something you read like on a Italian recipe?
I think it was like, we do like some HelloFresh every now and again.
Yeah.
And they were like, here, put mayo in this and in this sauce and like gave you packets of mayo, and like it actually came out really well. It came out great.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. You ever see like how Disney makes their grilled cheese?
Oh, they slather with mayo, right?
They slather with mayo and fry
on both sides. That's how you get that color. Yeah, yeah.
That's how you get the color. Yeah, yeah. So that's in there, baby. I don't know.
Have used mayo for grilled cheese, and it does work.
That's the only way you get that color.
Yeah.
Because I used to do butter, and I'd be like, what the fuck? It only gets to a certain point. And they're like, no, it's the sugar and the mayonnaise that you need to caramelize, and then you get that nice texture. And I'm like, I didn't know that.
I do like you yelling at butter, though.
Oh, yeah. You should see me.
What are you doing?
It's a fucking aggro nightmare, and I'm like throwing shit, getting mad at mayonnaise. But yeah, I'm a big Japanese QP mayonnaise fan.
Yeah.
Put that shit on fucking everything. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's, I get in some places where people get upset about mayonnaise, but at the end of the day, it's just like a fat delivery vehicle.
Right. It's all the things you like anyway. You know, eggs, olive oil, all that stuff.
Right.
But like, I feel like it takes a little bit of a bad rap, and I'm like a big mayo proponent.
Well, I think if you're like, if you're putting mayo on everything, like it's ranch, then
sure.
I think there's a thing with like, you know, mayo. I get to a certain point, like it is necessary for a lot of things, but then you do like, I've reacted to seeing things where it's like just extreme amounts of mayonnaise being used for something that I didn't realize mayonnaise was in. And I'm like,
yeah, that's fair. Like that's that. Fair.
But
and it does.
I am Italians. Please call in with your thoughts on mayonnaise for your Sunday sauce.
Well, not for the Sunday sauce. This is not
more of a Wednesday sauce.
Not for the Sunday gravy. Not in the gravy. Okay.
But
if you're going a little outside the box. Yeah. Right. I don't know. I feel like I need to just stand up for the mayo people. But I do agree with you. It some people do that gross thing where it's like it's too much and it makes the noise, and it doesn't make an appealing noise in a big bowl.
Now, if you're mixing it up, yeah.
Really, really frustrating. A little aggressive.
Do you fuck with a mayo chup? Is that what we're calling it instead of ketchinaise?
Oh, like, salsa golf?
Yeah.
Ketchinaise. Hey, ketchinaise. Yeah, fancy sauce? That's just fancy sauce, right?
Yeah.
That's the Burger King special sauce.
Right. Everyone's
mayo and ketchup.
Got their name. Yeah.
Yeah, I love mayo and ketchup. Mayo and Frank's hot sauce. That's good stuff.
Ooh, yeah.
That's a good dip.
Okay. Oh, I just got to say, I was reading into this, the Netflix U LA stuff.
And yeah.
I just love, okay, so just to give you an idea of one of the things that like sort of pissed them off. It says, it's love. That's one of the characters, right?
Yeah, she's the one that he like, I think he falls in love with or something.
Okay, who serves as Joe's guide to Los Angeles and who serves up that Jay Gold line. She introduces him to the city via the search for his, quote, perfect bite, taking him on a tour of food trucks and strip malls. Okay, food, got it. Then it's like stuff about like everyone's drinking green juices.
Yes, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, look.
We would never do that. I have an empty green juice right next to me.
We never do that because we keep our glasses empty.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's fine like that people do actually do it, but I think at this point we need to have grown up and been like, that's just what happens, and it's no longer like, oh you guys like your juices green?
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that. You know, if it's really behind, they're going to be like, hey, man, you want to go to a poke bar?
I like that character. Hey man, you want to go to a poke bar?
Oh man, this poke, that's a little bit of all right, man.
I'm from West Hollywood.
Yeah. Where they just we have the highest minimum wage in the nation.
There you go.
They do. Shout out West Hollywood.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about what's happening in the news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. So the big news in the mainstream media is more people are quitting than ever before. There's more unemployed people than ever before. The great resignation is upon us. What is happening? And so there's a couple things happening. One trend that people are kind of starting to document is that people seem, especially young people, seem less likely to just do a job because it's a job. They're more likely to kind of want to follow their passion. It's funny, you highlighted this article for us, Miles, that where this study calls it what I call the passion principle, the prioritization of fulfilling work even at the expense of job security or a decent salary. So they've like managed to laboratoryize just people doing what they love.
Yeah, not mimicking like our parents or grandparents who are like, I worked myself into bone dust just to keep things working. You're like, I don't know if that's for me. But yeah, this is like, you know, again, that's not new. I think for the longest time, we've heard things like, you got to follow your passion, man. If you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And that is true to a certain extent. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to indicate through certain studies, like with interviewing college students or career coaches, found that over 75% of college educated workers believe that passion is like really important in making a decision, like when it comes to what kind of career should I take. And 67% of them say that they would prioritize meaningful work over job stability, high wages, and work-life balance. And I think on a certain level, that made sense for, I don't know, when I graduated in fucking 2007, I walked into a fucking recession and I'm like, the fuck? Okay. I don't know what the fuck I thought I knew what I wanted to do, but now I really have no fucking idea what I want to do. And I think that forced me into a moment of truly thinking of like, well, right now, not many things are an option. So maybe let's take this time to figure out what is, you know, something that really energizes you. And I think the idea being that, like, if you like what you do, then you won't feel like you're just, you know, going day in, day out and wasting parts of your life by just toiling. But the thing that's really interesting about that is that idea of following your passion works to a certain extent, right? It's probably right. Working for people who either have some family that they can support, that can support them through a career transition, or just in general, if there are social safety nets. This was an interesting statistic that said when working class college graduates pursue their passion, they are about twice as likely as wealthier passion seekers, interesting description, to later end up in unstable, low paid work far outside that passion.
Yeah. Right.
So there's a lot of, you know, social safety net career things sort of tied up into everything that's happening at the moment.
I also think there's collective trauma from the last couple of years, and people, I can imagine that there weren't some people who were like, oh, I make a better living getting unemployment than I do doing this job. And now I'm going out and risking my life and they don't care about me because I'm not worthy of health care. And so I can imagine that people had, you know, the facing your mortality the way we did in the last couple of years, where people don't give enough credit for that, people were probably like, it's not like coronavirus has disappeared. It's not like COVID is still not here. So I can't imagine that people, knowing how many people passed away, and it was just like a brush of this group of people that are just gone now, that people are like reevaluating quality of life.
Yeah.
I think like that kind of goes to the other point that they're making, that, you know, in America, especially, we tend to, like, the first thing people ask someone is like, what do you do? And then like that defines like how you think of that person, or it defines how you think of yourself. Like, you feel a certain way about having a job, or like talking to somebody and not feeling great about your job, more than other countries. And so I think that that's another implication of this study, is that it's okay to not have a cool sounding job if you're able to, you know, have a good work life balance and take care of yourself and the people that you care about, and then pursue the shit that you love, like when your job that respects boundaries like allows you to.
Yeah.
You know what? I gotta say this because it's burning inside of me. I don't know where I was gonna say it, but I need to say it. So there's a shortage of Santa Claus, right? there is a shortage of Santa Claus throughout the country, because the people who dress up like Santa Claus do not want to get COVID. They don't want little kids who are not vaccinated sitting on their laps, right? I thought it was because they don't want to get in trouble for, you know, other reasons, but it was it was because of that. But I think it's interesting because a lot of the people who believe in Santa Claus, that, you know, don't, they want you to say Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays, tend to be affiliated with this ideology that COVID vaccinations are not necessary, that we shouldn't be wearing masks. But it's just a lot of it is performative, because everybody is going to protect their own hide. And so now you got a whole bunch of Santa Clauses that are not dressing up and not going out because they don't want to get COVID. But I'm like, I thought COVID wasn't real, son.
Yeah. You're right. It's real, and I'm shook. That's why I wanted to do it.
I do think, though, that like having a generation or just a populace like after the pandemic that is less likely to be interested in doing like kind of bone grinding, Miles, as you put it, work and like soul deadening work, like that is going to have a fundamental impact on like one of the big things that ties into job like satisfaction is like feeling like you're doing something. And we talked last month about like studies that have shown that, like, you know, up to like 40% to like most jobs in the American economy are just bullshit jobs. They're like make work jobs that like allow people to have a job managing other people. And that's like basically why those jobs exist. Like the longer I've spent working in the American economy, the more I've realized that that seems to be at least half of jobs is just like bullshit make work jobs, like in a lot of cases.
Make other people rich jobs.
Yeah, precisely.
Yeah.
And that's like the other thing that this article in The Atlantic points out too, is like, you know, employers love when they can find people who say they love their job, because that means they can squeeze more out of you. And that's sort of like, they're like, dude, and that was sort of like the thrust of this is like, don't fall into this pit of like, I love my job, because it's not all, you're not always work. You're most of the time, I would say 99% of us aren't working for us. We're working to make someone else a lot of money. And like to the idea of like what it means to work and just like these bone grinding jobs. Like I even think about even guilt I would have about being like, is my job hard enough? You know, like, am I? Because I look at the examples of jobs my family has had through the generations, and I'm like, dude, I bet my grandmother's fucking laughing at me. She's like, oh, you a podcaster? How far did you go to get water? And I'm like, what? It came out the sink? And there's a lot of, and I think there, again, because of the idea of your job being wrapped in your identity, it really is insidious, which is why, like, you know, people are pivoting to things like, actually, the things that matter to me isn't necessarily saying, I do X for a living, rather than I have a thing. Look, I know I have to work because that's how capitalism is, or else I will be homeless and starving. So let me find something that actually gives me the freedom to do the shit that I actually like to do. And I don't have to get so wrapped up in thinking my work has to be the thing that gives me everything that I want.
Yeah, you hear these kids now, and which I respect, that they are calling out this toxic capitalism that's driving us into the ground.
Yeah.
You know, people were really weaponizing socialism and communism and those buzzwords to alarm people who are being, you know, motivated emotionally and through their pain. And, you know, all of that stuff is being hijacked to serve a greater purpose, to keep feeding this toxic capitalism that is running the world, not just America. And it's just interesting to see people now calling it what it is, because the conversation had been framed so that if you called out capitalism as having toxic properties, that you were being anti-American. And now people are starting to say, oh man, like, this man made how much money during the pandemic? Because I didn't have any food in my house.
Right.
And I just think it's important. And I think it's admirable to hear people finally starting to say what the real, you know, where the real source is, because from that is where the white supremacy rains down on us, and the patriarchy and the sexism and the religious oppression. And it is all a function of rich people getting richer at the expense of those who are willing to bleed for being a Republican, a Democrat, you know, working for this company or that company.
Right.
And now people are finally saying, yeah, nah, I'm good.
Right. And to the point where, like you're saying, like in previous eras, it would be like, oh, you're a, what are you talking? What's all that shit you're talking? You're a socialist. You're like, oh, no, no, I'm not a commie. You're a pinko. Oh, yeah. No. And right. Now it's like, oh, you're a socialist. And now everybody's like, yeah. And what?
Right.
So?
Yeah. I mean, we want the socialism to work for us too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like,
my senator's kids go to a good school. Right.
Yeah.
For us too.
I'm curious for you, like, even in your special, right, you talked about how you did a lot of political commentary and that, and then you're like, I don't know if that's for me. And I think especially for people who are in the arts, performative, there's definitely an evolution of thinking like, is this a job I want to have? Is this a job I can sustain my life with, sustain a family with? Should I just take something that's more consistent? What was your sort of path through all of that to kind of arrive where you're at right now?
So I'll be honest with you. I've never made any money for being an activist, right? So when people, it's a thankless job, right? And it's not a job. It's just our civil duty as, you know, people who live on a planet with other people. I think it's just healthy to say, I care about you. And if you don't have food, that should matter to me, because it just, I don't know. It's just, I guess, where the definition of humanity is for me. What I had to evolve to and learn in this business is that, one, I have the privilege of doing it because I have a job in comedy that I do get paid for. And if I don't want to do this anymore, I can just go write my jokes. But there are people on the ground who do this every single day, who fight for the planet, fight for, you know, racial justice and equity, that fight for the rights of women. And those people don't get a lot of followers on Instagram. You know what I mean? But if Kim Kardashian said, I'm gonna help this lady get out of jail, everybody's like, oh my God, amazing.
Right.
But there are people who are doing that every single day, that the people who actually helped Kim Kardashian accomplish that they get overshadowed. And so I didn't want to be a part of that, because I feel like that's toxic too. Mm. So I decided that I was going to use my whatever I have to shine a light on the people who do that, because they need the support. They need the economic support and they need the moral support, because it's a really hard job to fight for stuff. And that I would continue my advocacy and activism through my art. Mm-hmm. And so I'll write the jokes about this, but I am in no way equipped nor informed enough to talk about some of the things that people who this is their expertise.
Right.
And I just felt like I was in the way and I wanted to get out the way. The other thing is that people are exhausting. As I said in there, it's hard to fight for people that you hate.
Right.
I'm like, I want to turn around. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, I can't stand y'all. Like, you guys are the worst. You damned if you do, damned if you don't. You know, if I say something, why are you saying something? Why are you talking for us? If I don't say anything, why are you not saying anything?
Silent, yeah.
So I just decided that I was going to redirect my energy and I was going to put it in my scripts and I'm going to put it in my writing. I'm going to put it in my jokes and the movies that I write and the TV shows that I make. I'm going to get out of the way and I'm going to let those people who do what they do. And anytime I have any power or visibility, I'm going to shine a light on them.
Yeah. And you could tell, and especially like in your special, I really loved how you gave everyone a lower third. Like no one was just anonymous or just a back wallpaper or nothing. You're like, no, this is right. This person, this is the name of this group, even if they're performing on the street. Mm-hmm. That was just and again, you could see that permeate through your work. So yeah, that's
really I appreciate dope. That you noticed that, because that was something that I had to vocalize. I was like, you know, those people are important. And yeah. This is one, the people that look like this don't get to be on HBO Max or Netflix.
Right.
With frequency.
Right.
So this is their opportunity to shine. Give them a name.
Yeah. Now you're platforming them, and now hundreds of thousands of people will see a name and be like, oh, I thought that group was fly. Let me look them up. And sure. Yeah, really commendable.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's talk about schools. Let's talk about schools being unfair.
Yeah. Speaking of that.
Because, you know, in addition to pouring billions of dollars into the sweatpant industry, the pandemic has changed a lot about how we think about schooling, because parents had to sit there with their kids while they were trying to learn. It was very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the end of 2020, there was an unprecedented rise in Fs, which, you know, it feels like that is one way to deal with like the fact that a complete act of God that nobody had any control over came in and made it much harder for kids to learn, is to blame it on the kids and, you know, make the rest of their lives harder by just flunking them. But a bunch of school boards have been coming together to try to address this issue, figure out like how they can change how we think about schooling and, you know, how we judge students in a way that will be more fair and more appropriate to the modern world.
Right.
Because apparently, like, the letter grade thing was invented like 100 years ago, or I guess 120, dating back to 1897. And the reason that it stuck is because it became like very common in the how we graded meat. And so like, that's how it got like sort of branded on the culture. Grade A beef became such a
wow.
Put that over to grade A math skills.
Right.
What is grade F beef? That's my question. Like, what is
good shit?
Oh man. My grandfather used to tell a funny story as the parent of German immigrants who didn't speak a ton of English, that a bunch of kids would just lie to their parents about what the grading scale meant. So it was like F was fine, D was damn fine, C was could do better, B was bad, and A was awful, which I've always found so funny.
I mean, you know, it has a certain sort of a sense to it, but kids won't be able to get away with that shit anymore, apparently. But I like the things that they're, you know, looking to change are basically they want kids to be judged based on how mastery of the skill they're trying to learn.
Right.
So if they have learned it well enough to do it, then they get by. If they haven't done that, then they have to keep going. But like, which I assumed is like how teachers were thinking about the letter grades too, right? Like that, oh, well, they haven't learned math, but they're pointing out that like there are stupid things that go into somebody failing, like, you know, missing a class or not following directions. And so they're trying to do away with that sort of thing.
Right. Go ahead. I mean, all that shit did for me was just obsess over being in the like scoring above 90% on tests, because that was a threshold for an A. And half the time, it was just, I mean, it was funny too, because I think the letter, I think because culturally I was so sort of oriented to be like, yo, these fucking A's better be hitting on this card when I see it, that like it put into me like, fuck, I got to do anything to get an A, more than even being like, I got to do whatever it takes to learn this. I just became more about, yo, can I memory recall the fuck out of this for a test? And also, truth be told, I hated science. I just started cheating in science because I was like, fuck that. I'm not fucking my grades up.
Yeah.
I will order the teacher's edition of this physics book and do I have the test already. So thank you.
It's so real, though. It's like you're not learning things. You're just like, let me learn the structure of the eyeball for this biology quiz and then not retain a lick of it for any future sort of like things. Right. But guys, what about our permanent records? It's going to go in our permanent records. Yeah. These Fs.
Oh, my God. I haven't even heard. Yo, you fucked me up just saying that out loud. This is going to be on your permanent record, y'all. Like, this is going to go on your that.
Yeah. And it's like, I never saw it. Did it exist?
Okay. I asked my dad about this. He said you were full of shit. And they're like, well, we'll talk about that at the parent-teacher conference.
For any children listeners, like, not a day goes by where my permanent record from middle school is not dangled haunting over my head by the police, by the banks. IRS, banks.
Employers, everything. The doctor.
But yeah, so LA and San Diego Unified School Districts are directing teachers to, and this sounds like what they should have already been doing, base academic grades on whether students have learned what was expected of them during a course and not penalize them for behavior, work habits, and missed deadlines. It's like, yeah, motherfucker, that's how we should have always been doing it, because the school closures that happened disproportionately affected the grades of Black and Latinx students. So,
I mean, it's interesting too, right? And I'm sure there's plenty of alternative schools that take this into account, because I feel like that's just a huge focus area for people in education. But like, I think it's like the stakes are just so high, like they feel so high in this like A through F system, that it will either create like kids will either very quickly be like, okay, fuck it, I can like rise to this situation, or check out because it just becomes frustrating. You know, and even if they can, like, I have so many friends who are more than capable of being in AP classes, but like the momentum of like academia and like being sort of told like you're kind of like a C student. Yeah. It's like, nah, man, his parents were fighting all the time and he was distracted and couldn't do his fucking homework like other kids or whatever. Like, that's sort of what's happening here.
You know who's not going to like this? Mainstream media. I feel like the mainstream media is a society of straight A students who bought into that. Well, and
a lot of a lot of F students go ahead and buy on nepotism.
Right. And, you know, who like actually think, and I think a lot of, you know, just a lot of like the people in power in America will not like this, because there is a belief that like, well, I went to a better college and that means not that I had more opportunities, but that I'm like actually smarter and need to like be in control and like making these decisions that affect other people because I need to make them for them. Like, that is definitely undergirding like a lot of how people think. And I think the media and the world of finance, and like that's also how they justify just the generally fucked up way that our society is built out. So like the idea that, well, what do you mean my kid can't get straight A's? Like, that's,
but it's all, this thing is a competition based market. I mean, society that we live in.
I'm glad we've like started having this conversation about gifted kids and like that whole escalator of madness. Like, it's, I don't know if you guys like, we talk too much about it on Twitter, I will say, and there have been too many things in the sort of like former gifted kids do this, but I don't know, like, I myself and a lot of my friends, it's like, yo, we've been grinding since we were five, like, this is not fun anymore. Like, I got all the A's, I did all the right stuff, I still can't buy a fucking house, like, I am taking a breather and smoking some weed, like, I am not, like... Yeah, it's I hope parents are like loosening the reins on some of that stuff too, and realizing that like if every kid gets straight A's and every kid does all the right sort of like extracurriculars, like you're still in the same boat when things like COVID happen. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I can like see the Fox News segment on this now. It's going to be like tied to the war on Christmas. It's like the war on report cards.
Yeah, woke report cards. Report cards are now woke, because it's even now too hard to hear that you have failed at something.
Yeah,
sure. But I mean, I think it goes along with this other thing too. Like this, these studies constantly come out. Like again, they're showing like 43% of like Harvard, like white students that were admitted were like recruited athletes, legacy students, or like on a dean's interest list, meaning like parents gave money. And you're saying 43% of those kids going to Harvard are there because of not, I'm sure, of like the hardcore merit-based admissions that many of the other students face. But there's just always these levels to like, it's never the same scale applied to everyone. So it would be interesting to see where something where it's like, yeah, guess what? In this version, this kid too will be treated as a valid applicant to a school because we have a more just sort of holistic, even keeled way of saying like, yep, this kid knows it. This kid does too.
We are the best of the best of billionaire children. But so there are reasons to believe that this is a better, for instance, there's a school in New York City that tried this, basically did away with letter grades. And it was a middle school. And they say in this Washington Post article, quote, the approach has been transformative. In the 2013-14 school year, 7% of its students read at grade level and 5% met the state's math standards. 2 years later, 29% were proficient in English, 26% proficient in math, pulling the school close to the city average just by getting rid of these standards of pass fail. And like the, I also feel like there's like, there are a lot of great teachers. Like I've had a lot of great teachers. I've also seen teachers who feel empowered because they get to be like pass fail. Oh, yeah. Like I get to pass judgment on these kids' lives.
That was fucking Miss Heacox. I still remember your ass.
Don't think we forgot Miss Heacox.
But yeah, she tried. But guess what? I'm good at math, so you can't hold me down.
There are some teachers that are just like straight sadists. And, you know, to say, not to malign the many, many wonderful, dedicated, like this is their life's work teachers of the world. But you do think back on some of those teachers you had. You're like, what was your deal, man? Yeah. Like, what was going on here? Like,
right. I had this like older person just take all their like life's anger out on me. Like legit, when I look back and you kind of have the wherewithal to understand like human behavior a little bit more outside of like the academic or like child adult dynamic, I was like, yo, you were so fucking unhappy with your life. And you just got your jollies off walking in here and just acting a fool. Like that was really, that was the loop you were caught in. And unfortunately, we were calling you the teacher. But again, like you're saying, I've luckily had so many good teachers that like could tell I was maybe like starting to check out or whatever. I was just distracted. I'd rather fuck around or something. And they would always come like kind of, you know, gas you up and be like, hey, man, you're smart. Like you can do this shit. Like just do it. And I'm like, all right, fine. You got it.
Well, and that's such a problem with like contemporary schooling too, is like we all have such specific ways of learning and retaining information, and teachers have to figure out the 30 different styles of that for every kid in their class, every period. Teachers should be making like 500 grand a year.
Absolutely. They should be the ballers of the earth. Like if you go to a nightclub and they're coming through a bottle service and the fucking flares, you're like, oh, you know, the teacher's in the building.
There should be a bunch of ugly sweaters at the booth that those
just like sipping the Cristal through straws.
Like shout out to all the teachers in the building, we got 2-for-1 drinks for teachers. I like this club.
All right, we are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back to find out why red wine is like weed. Seriously, you guys.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And let's see, Marjorie Taylor Greene has just been eating mask fines like they're, I don't know. What is Marjorie Taylor Greene? I feel like she eats a heavy protein diet based on watching her workouts.
She probably eats like Clif bars that she like dusts in protein dust.
Yeah, yeah. But
like she'll lick a protein bar and then like Salt Bae some protein, like whey protein on right. it, and then eat that. Yeah, that feels like what it is.
So she's the house's most outspoken anti-vaxxer, posting videos of her workouts to demonstrate her physical fitness or not knowing what a HIPAA violation is. She's, you know, just always disregarding health and safety. And like one of the ways she's doing that is just not giving a fuck about paying an anti-masker mask fund.
So if you remember, after January 6th, when a lot of members got COVID because they were in close spaces together and they were begging people to wear masks, they're like, fuck this, we're not fucking around anymore. It's a fine. You fuck around the first time, it's $500. You want to go again, it's $2,500 for your second offense and then everyone thereafter. So it's not cheap. But she's recently like, you know, she's also goes back and forth between this shit where she's like, don't ask me my vaccination status. It's a HIPAA violation.
Yeah.
To then saying literally this as a quote out loud, quote, I'm not vaccinated either, and I won't be getting vaccinated. And that's my own personal choice. I support people that want the vaccine. If anybody wanted one, I would drive them to go get one because I support people's freedom to make their own decisions. No, you don't. And you've said a bunch of stuff that would make it seem like you were a fool to get a vaccination.
The workout thing, she was claiming that like by being in shape, she doesn't need to get the vaccine.
Doesn't need it because I'm fucking ripped. I'm equipped and the you know, immune system is lit. And mm-hmm. So this is her sort of whole energy out there with just trying to underscore the fact that it's not necessary. Don't need it. No, thanks. Well, she just was asked recently, like, yo, what's up with these fines? Like, they're not cheap. She told a reporter at The Hill, she's like, yeah, I'm up to 63,000 now. That's OK. Just so you know, a member of the House makes 174,000 a year. So she's over a third. She's just kissed a third of her paycheck goodbye. And before you ask, the answer is yes. that shit comes straight out the paycheck. That's not a thing where you get hit with a bill and you can just, you know, take it, send it to, you know, collections. They take it directly out of your paycheck. So that's money gone. But
to collections.
I'm sure, you know, I bet part of her would be like, yeah, fuck it. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, come on,
man. I'm looking at your credit. I'm looking at your credit report, Marjorie, and I see. I see you got the U.S. Congress on your in your collections.
We'll settle it
for 55%.
She's like, oh, man. But I mean, that's where I'm like, well, I'm sure she has some cool dark money ways that are totally above board that are helping offset that for her to be the loudest person, just making a stand for stupidity.
Here's the thing, too, man. I don't know where y'all from, but where I'm from, we don't respect niggas who lose money. We don't.
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's foolish.
We, you know, like, what the, you fucking up your money, bro. You, like, for what? For what? Yeah. Like, you know, like, even Kyrie, like, for what, dude? For what? Like, for a belief? You better believe in getting this paper. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, and I know, like, there are some progressives out there, oh, it shouldn't be all about money. Get the fuck out of here. Like, we don't respect us fucking up our money. You know, because we need
fucking up your money
to
is a crime in certain cultures.
It's a crime.
Fucking up
it's
your money or fucking ups. If someone says, you fucking up my money, I would start running. Because that's a precursor
and
to
like
something
that,
you don't want
to
be
around. And here's the thing. That has never been just a black and a white thing. Or rich or poor thing. Like, everybody universally accept it. We don't fuck up our money. That's been, like, a universally accepted thing. And, like, there's not... And we've gotten to a place now where people are so into their... It's not even a belief system. That's the thing that's crazy. If it was a true belief system, then fine. I may not believe, I may not agree with your belief system. I may think is rooted in a whole bunch of problematic things, but a true belief system, whatever. This is out of spite. This is out of politics. This is out of just, I want to be on the opposing side of you. And you fucking up your money for that? For that?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Get
but
the
that's
fuck
where
out
I
of
think...
here, man.
But I think that's where those dynamics aren't at play, right? Because if, let's say she wasn't, she's really going to be like, I don't really need that paycheck. And I mean, I know she's wealthy. Daddy has a lot of money and that's, she's comes from generation. She has like generational wealth to fall back on. But yeah, I mean, that's where like, that's why I believe her calculus is a little bit different because there is, the, on some level, it's probably very lucrative for her to continue this because that is in service of, you know, that's another, of a donor's agenda or just, generally, like the party, the cultural tone of the Republican, which is like, yeah, great, that's great, and we'll figure out ways to get you money. You'll be okay. You'll make more money, in fact, by eating.
Yeah,
and it drives home the point that laws that are enforced with fines are laws that don't apply to rich people.
No,
like, yeah,
right. I know. I mean, that's I get that is it. Just something in my soul hurts when I hear somebody willingly. Walking through a door and be like, well, just lost $2,500 today. Yeah, yeah. Like, that just hurts.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the poor black man in me, you know, the old poor Chicago in me. But because, you know, niggas out here making money now. So, you know what I'm saying?
Seen the chains.
I could afford to lose like $200. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know.
But even then, you're like sweating still, before you lose $200.
You're like, ugh. Right. I clutch my invisible pearl saying that, man. Like $200. And I ain't getting nothing for it.
In the back of your mind, you're
I'm
like,
still mad.
Average. Let's be real. I don't think it'll ever feel good to throw away $200.
It's wild. It's wild. But she's wild.
Oh, yeah. But that's
not, have you seen her do pull-ups? That's what that is the definition of wild.
You mean
that
like whipping her like lower
body whips?
Body whips to get your chin above the bar? Sure.
All right. Yeah. We'll talk about Ridley Scott's interview on yesterday's trending. So go check that out. But I do have to follow through on the flight attendant reveal.
Okay.
Because, you know, people, I tease it up top and just like a local news tease. It's wildly unsatisfying, but what we learn in this, one tone is a passenger hitting up a flight attendant.
Oh, so boom is somebody said, like, call attendant button on their seat. Okay.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
High to low chime means one flight attendant is signaling another.
or that the flight deck is trying to reach them.
Oh,
and then okay. three tones means an emergency.
Oh, no.
That's the one you don't want to hear.
Ding, ding, ding. That's okay.
Damn. Three tones usually is good, too, man. On like game shows, you get three tones. That means you won. Yeah. Yeah. Three. Damn. You know what? I love this. I love this. And I also hate this, too, because, you know, my anxiety will be like, was that three tones?
I know.
Yo, was that three tones? Like that, I can see myself doing that if I was like in my feelings on the flight one day, man. Which I'm not scared to fly at all. But every once in a while, I'll be in the air. And every once in a while, this is rare, but I'll be in the air and I'll be like, if this plane went down.
Oh, yeah.
We dead.
Yeah.
And that's like a good 10 minutes of anticipation of death.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
that. That sounds awful. Yeah.
I'll look around the fucking yeah. cabin and I'll start hearing Mad World playing. And I'm just like looking at the other passengers. And I'm like, this is the memorial video when this should go down. Look, there was that little family right there.
Right.
It was me.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to be on a t-shirt.
Have you heard too that flight attendants have their own secret code?
Yeah.
That they, like when you're walking on a plane and they're greeting you or you're leaving and they're greeting you, like if they like compliment you or something, it's not just a compliment. That's them telling other flight attendants around them that this, in case of emergency, this person looks like they can help us or some shit like that.
Oh,
have you ever heard that?
Oh,
yeah. That's, like, yeah.
There was like, sir, yeah, your biceps they had like are like Christmas hams right this way. I'm like, oh, thank you. You're being really kind. Thank you so much. Just patting me on the back, rubbing my shoulders. Like, all right,
yeah. 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 Right. How you doing? You look real happy today.
You doing P90X? No, actually. I sit actually for 9 hours a day straight. I'm more like human veal, if anything.
Yeah. What do you think it means when I get on, they say nerd alert to each other? Is that...
well, that means that if they need some... Like, if somebody passed MacGyver out and shit. They need some science tips, you uh-huh. know what I'm saying? They yeah, need yeah. somebody like, yo, who know the periodic table on here?
Right, right.
Quick, the plane's going down.
Plane's going down. We need a periodic table.
How many valence electrons does uranium have?
Right. So you that means it's a hero. That's a hero. You're a hero.
Okay. Okay.
They're gonna come right to 33B and come right. grab you because we know Jack. We know Jack only sitting in the back of the plane. You know what I'm saying?
They're like, come
right
on,
next
Jack.
To the
Jack,
bathrooms. I love that right smell.
Next the, right next to the bathrooms. Yeah. Yeah.
Give it to me.
Needs it. I'm
like 92 protons, 92 electrons.
There was
come on.
There was an article. This was a few years ago. First of all, let me just precursor this by saying I would sue the fuck out of Southwest if this ever happened on a plane with me. But there was an article where. It's funny too, where the pilot accidentally hit the "we're going down" button and yeah. set that over the fucking loudspeakers.
Prepare for crash emergency landing.
Yeah, yeah. He accidentally hit it or some shit and people lost their fucking minds, bro. Because it was like a smooth flight or like it wasn't right. like oh, yeah, yeah. turbulence.
And it's like an automated message.
I mean, I guess so. I guess it was.
Or it's even funny.
I would
like,
think that wouldn't be.
Boom, boom, boom. Hot shit. We're going down, down, baby. You're like, oh, what the fuck? Really?
Hell yeah, man. Nelly.
Country grammar.
Look, if Nelly played on my way down, that I would be like, you know yeah. what? This was a life well lived.
And then you're like, oh, I know this shit's going down if they're playing now.
If you're hearing right. this, it's too late.
Right.
Six, yeah. six.
Oh, they only got black music for going down? Oh, yeah, we fucked.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. It means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.